I went back and listened to the last few weeks of Sourcecast, and I kind of got the feeling that maybe we're skewing a little bit too negative lately. That whole Uber Silicon Valley episode, that was really dark. Last week's episode, number 78 with John Silverwood, that added a bit of brevity, but there was a nefarious undertone with SoftBank. Where are they getting all that Vision Fund money? So I thought I'd lighten things up a little bit this week. Big Blue, IBM. They haven't had a great run lately. Most of the coverage that I've provided hasn't been particularly positive lately, but that is going to change this week. Dare I say that IBM is somewhat turning their fortunes around, or as I like to say,
everything's coming up, Milhouse!
I can't believe that I'm about to explain a 15-year-old Simpsons joke on this podcast, but Milhouse is Bart Simpson's friend. He's the dude with the blue hair and the glasses, the kid. They depict Milhouse as a bit of a loser, and the poor character, even when he has a mediocre success, he exclaims,
everything's coming up, Milhouse!
So this week, for IBM, everything is coming up, Milhouse. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast episode number 79. Before we get to our main story, let's discuss the acquisitions that have taken place over the last 2 weeks. Apple has acquired eye tracking company SMI. SMI is a German company which was founded in 1991 and has done significant work in eye tracking research, not only with phones, but with proprietary eyeglass hardware. The company is also working on consumer-focused applications like eye tracking for virtual reality. Aha, the purpose. Last year, SMI announced that it was creating an eye tracking development kit for the HTC Vive VR headset. I guess they did a good job because Apple bought them. Microsoft is acquiring cloud cost optimization vendor Cloudyn. Cloudyn. How would you pronounce that? I hate these crazy names. This acquisition had been rumored for quite some time, but it was subject to regulatory approvals, and it is expected to close later this year. Microsoft said that this acquisition fits with its commitment to provide customers with tools they need to govern their cloud adoption and realize the strategic benefits of a global, intelligent cloud system. Chinese company Baidu acquired a natural language startup company called Kit AI, Kit with two T's. This acquisition was designed to specifically help Baidu carve out a place for itself as a platform for developers who want to create chatbots and other services based on natural language technology. Baidu is also doing some interesting work with AI and self-driving cars. They formed some kind of alliance with other companies to get their AI technology into cars. So rather than producing their own self-driving vehicles, Baidu wants to create an open source platform to export its technology and integrate resources with other car makers. So Baidu wants a Chinese-made artificial intelligence, open source artificial intelligence, to be installed on vehicles that can move over 100 miles per hour. Okay. And to close out our acquisitions, consulting company Forrester, they think that Apple should buy IBM. Forrester's logic is that Apple is falling dramatically behind in natural language recognition and AI. Siri is apparently not cutting it. And since this natural language processing is going to be such a critical aspect of future IT success, they should basically buy IBM so they can get Watson to get back into fighting shape. Good luck with that one, Forrester. So on to our main story, IBM. Things haven't been going great for IBM the last couple of months. I've certainly been covering their dubious reasons for making people go back into the office and cutting back work from home. There's been a series of articles kind of saying that AI isn't catching on as quickly as they needed to. And then they had an outage recently for WhatsApp, and now WhatsApp is leaving IBM's hosting platform. So nothing catastrophic, but there has just been a hum of negativity about IBM. But Big Blue is scrappy. For every door that has closed on IBM, there has been a window that has opened. So during this hum of bad news, one of the bright spots that maybe was overlooked was that IBM is producing a lot of really fast processors, quantum processors. I'm not going to get in a whole spiel about quantum processors, but essentially, if they are configured correctly, they can perform enough calculations for enough scenarios where they can almost predict the future. They don't really predict the future, but they can really start to analyze trends. And as you can imagine, the military is super interested in that idea. IBM and the United States Air Force announced that they are creating a machine that will run an array of 64 True North neurosynaptic chips. These True North chips are wired together, and they kind of operate like the synapses within a biological brain. Each core is part of a distributed network and operate in parallel with one another on an event-driven basis. These chips do not operate on a clock like normal CPUs do. So all of these high-concept, impractical chips that IBM has been making press releases on, and I keep wondering, like, who's going to buy this thing? How are we going to use it? Well, here's a perfect example of it being used now and in practical military applications. The same week, IBM also announced that they are working with Cornell University to use artificial intelligence to make dairy more safe. They are effectively using Watson and their artificial intelligence platforms to sequence and analyze DNA and RNA of food microbiomes, and these researchers plan to create new tools to help monitor raw milk to detect anomalies that represent food safety hazards. A few weeks ago in the podcast, we talked about practical applications for artificial intelligence today, not in the future, so here is an example of a practical AI application right now. Now let's move on to another big topic for IBM, blockchain. I hate to sound like a broken record, but here was another topic where criticism was levied against IBM for what is the practical use today, not tomorrow. So IBM has been lobbying for months with Deutsche Bank, HSBC, KVC, and a bunch of other companies to get this blockchain solution implemented in Wall Street. So IBM was selected to build a new blockchain international trading system for this consortium of global banks. These global banks got together in January to build a digital trade chain, DTC, which is a blockchain-based trade finance platform. It sort of uses the core concepts of blockchain and Bitcoin to help buyers, sellers, transporters, banks financing the deals. The intent is to get more financing for people lower down the chain, as banks can be more confident that the end buyer is good for the money. The reason why this is a big win for IBM, not only is it current business, but it means that the DTC will be built on IBM's blockchain platform, which is called the Hyperledger Fabric. This means most likely more lucrative servicing contracts for IBM and even more banks potentially buying into the system. So we have a blockchain win, we have AI wins, we have CPU wins. Dare I say, do we have a cloud win? We do, but let's step back for a second. I've spent a lot of time on Amazon and Microsoft over the last few months on this podcast. There's been Gartner reports and other industry reports stating that Amazon is way ahead of everybody. Microsoft is a decent second. Google is aggressively making plays for the cloud space. And then you have IBM kind of rounding out fourth. Between the WhatsApp situation and the Gartner article, there have been a lot of doubts about IBM's future abilities in the cloud market. And just as you start to doubt them, an old friend comes in to make them look a little bit better. Many, many months ago, I mentioned a news story about how antiquated airline software and technology is. They may update these front ends, but on the back end, it's these really old IBM technology. So here's a situation with American Airlines. Everyone knows they have antiquated legacy systems. Most insiders know that that is IBM technology. American Airlines could have picked another supplier. Many airlines recently have had outages because of their legacy environments. IBM is connected with that. So there's sort of a logic to say, maybe we should pick someone new, I suppose. But they're doubling down because IBM basically created a lot of this technology 50 years ago. And American Airlines announced that they have entered into a massive, I'm using air quotes, massive cloud agreement with IBM. By moving to the cloud, American Airlines hopes to avoid similar outage issues while also improving the customer experience. As the airline moves off of its legacy infrastructure, it can rely on IBM as their service provider to ensure applications stay running. And that's a positive sign, because as I'm reading this win with American Airlines, Business Insider published an article stating that CEOs expect that 46% of their workloads will be on the cloud by the end of 2020, while only 34% will be on-prem. And most of those CEOs were thinking that their business is going to go to Amazon or Microsoft. That same survey stated that between now and 2020, of the 100 US and European CIOs that were surveyed, they're expecting to decrease spending on IBM by 13%. So when you see articles that IBM is actually applying this technology today, their artificial intelligence, their blockchain, their new fancy chips, their cloud, they're implementing it successfully, they're pleasing their customers, It only bodes well for a company that is struggling to transition from legacy infrastructure, perpetual software, old school consulting, into a cloud-focused, AI-driven analytics and security company. The main theme of this week's podcast is, you're not going to win every fight. No company is going to have one massive success after another. Another way that you can judge a potential business partner is how they roll with the punches, how they overcome setbacks, and how they execute on their strategy and plan for the future.
Oh, I hate these flood pants. Hey, they're working. My feet are soaked, but my cups are bone dry. Everything's coming up, Millhouse.
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.